All right, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither that be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. But they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Just going to stop there. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you'd bless the preaching of the word tonight. We ask that you would teach us, instruct us, use the message to challenge our hearts to live a life that's pleasing to you. We would grow closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 37 is a great psalm. I've preached out of it before. I'm getting a ringing. I can hear myself preaching here. And you take care of that. So it's a great psalm written by King David. It was really written by King David in his old age. And I guess I didn't preach this morning up at Brother Taylor's. I teased him a lot about turning 60. But I reminded him that now they say that 70 is the new 50. Right? Geraldo Rivera said it. 70 is the new 50. So he's not really old. But this particular scripture I decided the other day to preach tonight. I knew I'd be preaching in the evening. It is written by David in his old age. And it's written dealing with the idea of the prosperity of the wicked and the things of the wicked in relationship to the affliction that believers face and that believers deal with. It's really meant to calm the minds of God's people as they deal with everything that's going on. And all you have to do today is just, especially in the last few days, turn on the news and see all that's going on in the world. I haven't caught up with the details, but on the ride down, we heard the news. I think it's in Baton Rouge, where a number of police officers were shot, and I don't even know if they were killed. I don't know if they were wounded. How many were killed? Three were killed, three wounded. And then, of course, what happened in Dallas, and then you look globally, the chaos in Turkey, and all, just go from place to place. I mentioned to the church on Wednesday night that I had been getting a series of emails from our missionaries to South Sudan, the Enochs, and they were for a week sending out emails and asking in those emails not to reproduce those emails because they were right in the midst of a battle that was taking place. They were actually hunkered down in their compound with people from that village, hope and bullets flying by everywhere. And then, of course, I saw just in the last couple of days, it was in the news, the unrest in the South Sudan. You know, it almost doesn't matter where you point your finger. You could take the globe almost and spin it and just put your finger on the globe, and there's unrest in so many places around the world, including, of course, our own country here. But, you know, the reality is, in the history of the world, there's always been unrest. There's always been times of great difficulties. We've just been so fortunate that we've lived, especially if you're my age, you're around my age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, we've lived in such peaceful times, really, in our country. We've had the privilege of that. Just some of the old hymns that we sing. You know, they talk about laying down your burden. Listen, life for many people, teenagers, life for many people was a burden. For some of you guys, your biggest burden is, what's the next video game I'm going to get to play? That's your biggest burden. But I want to tell you, life from the beginning of time has been a burden for people. a burden just to survive, a burden just to live, a burden just to get by from week to week, sometimes from day to day. And still, in places out and throughout the world, it's still a burden for people to get through life from day to day to day to day to day. And then you and I as believers, we look out at the world in which we live in and we see what's going on in the world. Not just the violence that I've already talked about, but we see just the corroding of our culture and everything that we see from the entertainment business to just our thinking about things. It's just the world we live in. But again, nothing new under the sun. There's always been. I was sharing with Roland some things with regards to the early church and how most of the Gentiles, perhaps all of the Gentiles that came to know Christ as their Savior, they were all involved in false religions, in idolatry. And we were kind of discussing the idea that it costs sometimes to become a Christian. And he comes from a background where his relatives are not real happy that he has become a born-again Christian. They're based in a religious system that teaches salvation by good works, although, according to his testimony, they only go to church on Christmas and on Easter. But they are upset that he's rejected that, a false hope, a false teaching, and now has accepted Christ. And as I sat and just talked to him just about a few issues, I laid out things like vain repetitious prayer infant baptism and just a few other things. He said, well, why do they do that then? And so it just gave me opportunity to share that in many religions, including Roman Catholicism, the teachings of the church trump the teachings of the Bible. And it is the blind leading the blind. It is a false hope that people are involved in. And social issues, religious issues, even some of the things as believers we look at and we think, man, you know, what's even happening? What's even happening to the philosophy of Bible-believing Christians? Some of the things that are being accepted. Well, David's psalm is meant to calm all of that and calm all that's going on in the world in which we live. So he starts off with this in verse 37. He starts off with, fret not thyself because of evil doers. The word fret, it means to wear away or to gnaw away. Just as a worm would gnaw away at the planks of a ship, or would perhaps gnaw away at your house. That's the idea of fretting. And so you and I, we can get all caught up in this, and it can begin to gnaw away at us. And we become agitated by it, or we can become disturbed by it. And I guess in some sense, we should be disturbed by it. But the answer is Jesus Christ. But the psalmist said, listen, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't be upset with that. And why? From the very beginning of time, there's been workers of iniquity. From the very beginning of time, since the fall in the Garden of Eden, there have been evildoers. From the very beginning of time, Cain and Abel, and Cain murdering his brother from the very beginning of time. We see what took place, and again, I don't know the details, what took place this afternoon or today down in Baton Rouge. People murdering people. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the world in which we live in. You and I, we've just gotten so used to, or maybe I shouldn't use the word used to, we've just enjoyed so much peace and prosperity, but now we're seeing it all fall apart. But we shouldn't be surprised. 50 years ago, they removed God out of the public schools. And over the course of time, athletics has become more important than spirituality. Over the course of time, one thing after another. We're just seeing all of the ramifications of that. We shouldn't be surprised. It's the world in which we live. And so the psalmist reminds us, listen, don't get all agitated about it. It's the world we live in. There's always been evildoers. There's always been workers of iniquity. And then he says this, look at verse 2. Listen, they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. It's not going to last forever. I was having lunch with Brother Tim today, and we were just talking about things, and I said, but the reality is we are all going to wither as the grass. You know, we all grow old. I was joking with him about that quote I had mentioned it in the service, and then we were talking about it at lunch, Geraldo Rivera. And Tim says, yeah, well, Geraldo, he can afford the best medical attention there is today. And when he needs to get away, he can go out on his yacht and things like that. And so I said, yeah, but in the end, we all just wither away. That's kind of a downer. I said, Tim, it's the reality. We're not all going to live forever, at least in this body, amen? But we are going to live forever. That's the great thing. We're going to live forever and forever and forever. And there's a day coming where you and I will never have to worry about evil workers or the workers of iniquity. So we just live in this world today and we live for the Lord. Fret not because of evil doers. The Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, it's all temporal. Everything in this world is temporal. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to go away. Fret not yourself because of evil doers. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. But by the way, we ought to live with eternity in mind. One day we're going to step out of the temporal and we're going to go into the eternal. And really, this life is preparing us, or ought to be preparing us, for the eternal. Secondly, you'll notice this. Verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So in other words, the land is full of evildoers. The land is full of workers of iniquity. Always has been, always will be. But God says, trust in me. Trust in me. I'm hoping when I take Hannah out to Kentucky, where she'll be serving the Lord there in that local church, Landmark Baptist Church, if you want to Google it and see where she's going to be attending, you can go ahead and do that. They've got a nice website. But not far from there, I think we clocked it out about an hour and a half, is the Noah's Ark Museum that's just opened up. So we're hoping to travel and see it. It's a life-size replica of Noah's Ark. But when I think of Noah's Ark, and I think of Noah building the Ark, and I think of the world in which he lived, it was a world filled with the workers of iniquity. It was a world filled with evildoers. And he just trusted God. He just trusted God. That's what you and I need to do. Just trust God. This past week in my devotions I've been reading, there's a great story that was told by Dr. Harry Ironside. He's one of my heroes of the faith. I have his commentaries. He served the Lord in the early 1900s to about, I think, the 1940s. He had been the president of the Moody Bible Institute. But he was I believe, if I remember correctly, I might get this part wrong, but it won't really change the story. He was either at a Bible college or he's at some type of a ministry. And that ministry needed to raise $10,000. And so they were gathered for prayer. And they made it known to him that they needed $10,000. They were praying for $10,000. So that morning he led the prayer meeting, and he prayed, Heavenly Father, you know the needs of this ministry. And I'm just kind of giving you an idea, not exactly what he said, but he did say this: Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So $10,000 is really nothing to you. Well, not too long after that, Dr. Ironside tells the story that a check for $10,000 arrived at that ministry. It came from a man who owned cattle. He sold the cattle, was burdened for the Lord for that ministry, for $10,000 and he sent it to the ministry. That's just trusting God. I wonder how much we trust God every day. I wonder if we just live in a world and in a culture and an environment that, are we really trusting Him? Just think about that for a minute. What is it in your life each day that you're trusting God for? Or what is it in your life each week you're trusting God for? Or what is it in your life that even in a month or a year, what are you trusting God for? When is the last time you went to the Lord in prayer and you had to go to the Lord just trusting that God was going to do this or provide this or answer this prayer request? And maybe in your heart right now you can say, well, I had to do that this morning. Well, good, that's part of the Christian life. Or I had to do that this past week, or I've been doing that. Great! That's part of the Christian life. But if you're sitting back thinking, well, I can't think of the last time I had to trust God for anything. Well, that ought to kind of be an alarm. We ought to kind of, whoa, kind of wake up a little bit and think, whoa. Because the psalmist reminds us that this world in which we live in with workers of iniquity and evildoers, we just need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Someone said that faith cures fretting. The fretting to wear away, to be gnawed at. That's when we're not trusting God. But faith cures fretting. Do good, the psalmist said in verse 3. You see it there? Do good. Trust. A lot of times, people won't do good until they see they want the Lord to work first, and then they'll do good. Well, that's not how it works. Do good. So shalt thou dwelt in the land. And verily, thou shalt be fed. Do good. Dwell in the land. God will take care of you. Don't fret. You remember what the Lord said in the Gospels? He said, listen, consider the lilies of the field and how beautiful they're arrayed. Consider the birds and how I take care of them. Are you not greater than these? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And then thirdly, verse 4, delight thyself. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you delight yourself in God and in the things of God? I just recently had to do some upgrading, and so I have that was given or not given. It was, I guess it's purchased. It's $10 a month, but it's a pad, an iPad. And I use that a lot for computer work. But I was just hooked up. My kids hooked me up with what's called Spotify, so you can get all this music. So I got like the 100 greatest hits of George Beverly Shea. Now, most young people, they don't want to listen to George Beverly Shea. But he's got a beautiful baritone voice. And so sometimes I just sit and delight in that. Or the other day, I was listening to just some beautiful violin music. And think, well, we delight ourselves in the Lord and the things of God. Sometimes I just like to sit and listen to the birds and to the stream across the street. And just meditate on the things of God in my morning devotions. Just delight yourself in the things of God, the psalmist said. And he says there, he'll give you the desires of your heart. That he'll create the desires in your heart. It's not the idea where I can desire this, and I can desire that, and I can desire this, and God will take care of this, and God... It all starts with, when you're not fretting, when you're trusting in the Lord, God then begins to develop the very desires of your heart. The things you desire for. They're really important things. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He doesn't say rejoice in the word always. He says, rejoice in the word. And the word that's there is the word always. It means all the way. Give Him your all. Rejoice in the Lord. Delight thyself in the things of God. Men who delight in God desire or ask for only that which will please God. I think sometimes we miss out on all that God has for us. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. But again, I tell you, when you learn not to fret, when you learn to trust in the Lord develops those desires. We know that in the book of James, it tells us we have not because we ask not, or it says there we ask amiss. But as we delight in the Lord, as we trust in the Lord, as we learn to live by faith and not by fretting, it's the Lord that develops those desires in our heart. And we go to Him. And I think the Lord loves to fulfill our desires. I really think that He does. He enjoys doing that. Because we're His children. Then verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. The little phrase there, it means roll your whole burden and all the burdens of life upon the Lord. I think it was Spurgeon that said this. I'm not sure I have this written in my notes. I'm pretty sure I read this in Spurgeon's notes, his two-volume set on the Psalms. But I believe he said this. The farmer plows the field, and he sows the seed. What else can he do? He can't make the sun to shine, nor the rain to fall. And so he said, we have committed our very souls to Him. Should we not commit our earthly lives to Him? Just commit your whole life to God and to the things of God. I think when I read that quote, and I've read it several times, I think, of course, of my daughter-in-law's father, who's a farmer. And I'll never forget, he took me for the tour of his farm. He's very proud of his farm. He ought to be. He's got a beautiful farm. But he told me how important it was for his rows to be straight. He told me, that's kind of amongst farmers, that's a big deal. You have straight rows or you have crooked rows. It tells you you're really paying attention. And he showed me his sugar beets, and he showed me where he grows the corn, and I think he was growing soybeans that year, he showed me, and other things as well. But he plants the seed. He plows the field, he plants the seed, and then he waits on the God that he worships for the sun to shine and for the rain to come. And he's committed to that. And he told me, I never really thought of it but when you're that kind of a farmer, this is a whole aspect of farming I never really understood until I talked with him, but you have to look at all the farm futures and what the beets are going to sell for, what the soybeans are going to sell for. You have to figure all of that out. And then it's kind of you're dependent upon what you plant and the sun and the rain. I think it's such a wonderful testimony. He told me that he and many of the farmers in his church, none of them harvest on Sunday. It could be the height of harvest season, they don't harvest on Sunday. Because they've committed their lives to the Lord. They're trusting Him. So that's you and I. Commit our ways unto the Lord, it says. The writer of Proverbs says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The more we commit our lives unto the Lord, then not only our desires established, but our thought process is established. Why is it the world we're living in today is just out of control? And the thoughts of men are, it almost seems as if we are living in the days of Noah, when in Noah's day it said that the thoughts of men were only evil continually. Why is it that we're living in days like that? When your kids are in school, and I know you don't want to think about school in July, but when you're in school, what do you hear from all of your other students? I mean, just think of some of the things I'm sure you hear. I mean, I remember that what we heard when I was in school. A lot of ungodliness. I'm not talking about the instruction. I'm talking about the interaction sometimes between young people, even in the junior high. And all of the thoughts are being established by our media, and the thoughts are being established by the internet, and our thoughts are being established by Facebook. A lot of you, the young people that are on Facebook, I follow you on Facebook. So keep that in mind. I don't communicate, but I see what you're posting. By the way, some of you adults, I see what you're posting too. You might want to think a few minutes before you post some of that stuff. Ouch. My son is sitting there thinking, Dad, don't get on the Facebook thing. I didn't say you. Brother Taylor was on it this morning. Communication can be used for good, and communication can be used for evil, bad. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. When our thoughts are established, that'll determine what we're involved in, what we're not involved in. Also, we live in an evil world. The workers of iniquity. Many voices pulling us this way and that way. When we wake in the morning, we ought to be pulled by the voice of the Holy Spirit to spend time with Him. Spend time with the Lord. Or sometime during the day. But maybe we've quenched that voice. Maybe we don't hear that voice like we once did. Maybe when Paul wrote to Timothy, he talked about a seared conscience. Maybe our conscience is a little bit seared. So if we really want to deal with the world in which we're living in, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid to say that, I don't mean to be a sour grapes, but I don't think it's really going to get much better. We better be prepared for the world in which we live. To not fret. We shouldn't be surprised. To trust in the Lord. We're just spoiled. We've lived in good times. We've taken advantage of those times. Delight ourselves in the Lord. It doesn't matter how bad the world gets, you can still delight yourself in the Lord. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Roll the whole burden upon Him. Job said this, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things, and unsearchable, marvelous things, without number. The psalmist said, when we do that, He shall bring it to pass. Verse 5. Then lastly, look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. God is worth waiting for. Remember what Isaiah said? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Learn to rest in the Lord. Learn to rest in Him. Let me give you young guys this last example. It's a famous story from a number of years ago. It's actually a sports illustration. But I saw this man give this testimony. If you watch any baseball on television, on the national games that are on, he's not on, I don't think, quite any longer, but there used to be a commentator. His name was Oral Hershiser. I don't know if that name rings a bell or not. But he was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he actually pitched the winning game in the World Series for the Dodgers. In his testimony, they asked him, "How did you stay so calm during the game?" And he said this. "In between innings, when I finished pitching, it was my team's turn to bat, I'd come into the bench, and I'd sit on the bench, and I would close my eyes, and in my heart, I would sing unto the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below." And each inning, he'd just sing and just rest in the Lord. He'd come back out, and he'd pitch, and he won that game of the World Series. It's a great testimony. You know, none of us are going to pitch. Well, I don't know. Gideon, maybe you'll pitch someday in the seventh game of the World Series. Who knows? But have a testimony. And rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Just take a moment each day. But everything that's going on. You know, my wife and I, when we were up in Maine this spring, we were in a little, I guess it was a sweatshirt shop. What was that shop we were in? So I guess you buy sweatshirts and towels. So we were just talking to the gal there, and she said, "You know, I've just stopped watching the news. It's so depressing." She's right. But you and I, just take a step back each day. Just close your eyes and rest in the Lord. Sometimes we're so caught up in activity, we forget to just stop. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So that's my message for tonight, those 5 points the psalmist gave us. And we could go on. You can just continue to read on. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. You know, often that happens, and we can become angry at things because we have failed to apply the principles previous to that one I just mentioned. I noticed, too, that as you read down through the Psalms, and you can read it on your own, I'm going to finish here because time is up, but you read through here and you read how David describes the wicked. And you read how the Lord just laughs at the wicked. Verse 16, look at it real quick. "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, because the arms of the wicked shall be broken." And so on and so forth as you read down through here. Verse 26, it says, "Of the Lord, he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." There's a day coming that will not have to deal with all that's going on, all of the wickedness, all of the evil, all of the devices of man in the world. But you and I have a life to live. We have a light to burn in this world in which we live, for others to see Christ living in and through us. Take these simple principles and apply them to your life. Let the Lord work that out in your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this instruction from your word. We pray, Lord, that we make application. We We sometimes, Lord, I'm as guilty as anyone. We sometimes know what your word says, but we don't make the application. Help us to be mindful of these simple truths found in Psalm 37. Bring them, Holy Spirit, back to our memory, back to our attention in the days and weeks ahead. And help us to live as people of faith in a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.